would like to welcome you to the Mata-Hari Department Store's second quarter 2014 earnings call, hosted by Michael Rennison, CEO, and Richard Gibson, CFO. I would now like to hand the call over to Michael Rennison for introductory remarks.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our second quarter 2014 earnings call. I'd like to thank all of you for taking the time today to be on our call and listening to our results. Similar to last time, we will be recording this call and we'll post it to our website immediately afterwards. I'm delighted to inform you that we delivered another strong quarter. Our same-store sales growth significantly outpaced the industry, and once again, we achieved strong earnings growth. In addition, we opened two new stores, expanded three more stores, and completed our refinancing to our lower interest expense. Of particular interest is the continued strength in our private label business, which has exceeded our expectations, and the accompanying gross margin increases, which are helping to offset cost pressures, improving our overall company margins. In addition, consumer demand remains strong in our stores, with sales increases coming from both increases in unit volume as well as pricing. Now I'll turn it over to Richard, who will go into our results in more detail, after which we'll open the call up for questions.
Thank you, Mike. Good afternoon, everyone. Similar to our last call, at 4 p.m. Jakarta time, we posted three announcements to IDX and also to our website. Our year-to-date June 2014 unaudited financial statements, summary slides for our Q2 and year-to-date results, and also a brief press release. I'll be talking you through the earnings slides, which will take around 15 minutes, and then, as Mike mentioned, we'll have a Q&A session afterwards. If you have any questions after the call, and once you've reviewed the detailed financial statements, please feel free to contact us on our investor relations email, ir@matahari.co.id. I'll now run through an overview of our results, referencing the summary slides that we posted to the website. Let's start off by turning to page 4. Page 4 shows the highlights of the second quarter. Our total gross sales increased by 18.2% over last year to 3,295 billion rupiah. We delivered a second quarter comp store sales growth of 15.4%. Our merchandise gross margin increased to 35.7% of gross sales, up 130 basis points over last year. Our EBITDA increased by 22.8% over last year to 518.2 billion at 15.7% of gross sales. That's 60 basis points over last year. Our comparable net income increased by 48.4% from 201.1 billion in the second quarter of 2013 to 298.5 billion in the second quarter of 2014. Now, in terms of the definition of comparable net income, basically for 2013, you'll see that from the note at the bottom, for 2013, the net income has been adjusted upwards for the 20% tax rate that's applicable today. And our 2014 net income excludes the one-off amortization of the loan fees related to the recent refinancing. And I'll go into more detail on that later. Our reported net income increased by 30.6% over last year to 238.6 billion. We opened two new stores, bringing the total to 127 stores, and expanded three existing stores. Overall, we added 24,910 square meters in additional space, equivalent to approximately four new stores. Page 5 shows the highlights for the first half. Our gross sales increased by 15.7% over last year to 5,972 billion rupiah. We delivered a first half comp sales growth of 12.6%. Our merchandise gross margin increased to 35.1% of gross sales, up 110 basis points over last year. And our EBITDA increased by 18.7% to 853 billion rupiah, which is 14.3% of gross sales, which is 40 basis points over last year. Our comparable net income increased in the half by 52.7% from 294.5 billion in the first half of 2013 to 449.7 billion in the first half of 2014. And our reported net income increased by 36.5% over last year to 361.7 billion. Turning to page six, you can see in page six, this is a graphical representation of the first half. As I mentioned earlier, the gross sales are up 15.7% to 5,972 billion. Our EBITDA was up 18.7%, again at the 14.3% of sales, which is 40 basis points over last year. And our reported net income was up by 36.5% over last year to 362 billion rupiah. Assuming a 20% tax rate for the first half of 2013 and adjusting for the one-off charges in 2014, our comparable net income is up by 52.7% to 450 billion rupiah. If you turn to page 7, in terms of sales, we saw strong growth across all of our merchandise categories, with particular strength again in our private label business. In fact, in the first half, direct purchases represented 34.9% of our business compared to 32% in the full year of 2013 and 31.9% in the first half of 2013. Looking at the slide on page 8, we opened 2 new stores in the quarter. We had a total of 807,663 square meters at the end of 2013. At the end of Q2, we increased our total area by 24,910 square meters following 2 new store openings and 3 store expansions. And as mentioned, that's the equivalent of around 4 average stores and a 3.1% increase in total space. So our total area today is 832,573 square meters. If you turn to page 9, as you are aware, the stores that we opened in the second quarter were at St. Moritz in Jakarta and Borneo City Mall in Sampit, with a total space of 14,715 square meters. In addition to that, as I mentioned, we also expanded an additional 10,195 square meters in 3 of our existing stores, namely in Artigadding, Armada Magalang, and Malang. We are, however, updating our forecast on new stores, taking a more conservative approach. We're now forecasting 7 to 8 new stores for 2014. And actually, with the expansion, that's the equivalent of around 10 new stores. Of those stores, 2 are in new cities, and all of them are on set rent arrangements. The reason for our change is that we're getting information from some developers that they're taking a little bit of a wait-and-see approach as it relates to the macro economy, and in particular about the current interest rate environment. The slide also shows you our pipeline of new stores. And you'll see that the pipeline has actually reduced by 2 stores where the landlords have put their projects temporarily on hold. That having been said, we believe the pipeline is still sufficient to accommodate our expansion plans in the coming years, although in the next couple of years, we may see growth in the range of 10 to 12 as opposed to 15 new stores a year. If we move on to page 11, we have broken out our Q2 results. On Q2, you can see our Q2 sales growth, sorry, on page 11, you'll see our Q2 sales growth accelerating, increasing 18.2% over last year, bringing our year-to-date June increase to 15.7%. Now, June saw the very beginning of the LeBaron sales period. And although we do not provide specific monthly sales figures, we can tell you that we were very happy with our LeBaron sales in both June and July and achieved our sales plan. If we look at page 12, you can see that on page 12, our comp store performance is laid out graphically. As you can see, our comp performance accelerated in Q2 with a same-store sales growth up 15.4%, bringing the total year-to-date comp increase to 12.6%. And again, on a housekeeping note, do remember that part of the acceleration in the same-store sales growth in Q2 is driven by the fact that the beginning of LeBaron came forward by 10 days. We continue to have a positive outlook for the year, as consumer demand remains strong, and still believe that we should achieve a 10% same-store growth for the year or better, 10% same-store sales growth for the year or better. If you look at Q2, of the 15.4% same-store sales growth, 8.4% came from unit volume, and 6.5% came from an increase in average unit retail. This is actually a very healthy situation, particularly as when you dive into the numbers a little further, you also see increases in transaction volumes and basket size. So very much like we've talked about before, you know, we're definitely finding that more people are shopping at Matahari, and those that are actually spending more. If we turn to page 13, you can see the increases achieved in our merchandise margin. Last quarter, we mentioned that we were seeing an increase in the profitability of our direct purchase business, which, as you know, is primarily our private label. This has continued into the second quarter, and coupled with the continued strength of DP sales, has resulted in us delivering a 130 basis point improvement in the second quarter. On a year-to-date basis, our gross margin has improved by 110 basis points. We believe that for the year, these merchandise margin improvements will mitigate cost pressures in the business. If we turn to page 14, you can see an outline of our performance on the expense side. On the top right-hand side, you can see that on a comp store basis, expenses for the first half are 10 basis points over last year and 70 basis points over for the total company. Our expenses are coming in lower than planned, and we are seeing very encouraging results from our initiatives in improving labor productivity, and are also making significant progress in our LED relamping initiative, which will reduce electricity usage without compromising the store ambience. We do anticipate completing over 30 stores in the chain by the end of the year. On page 15, we can see our EBITDA. In the second quarter, we achieved an EBITDA of $518.2 billion, bringing our total EBITDA to 15.7% of sales, 60 basis points over last year. And so, as I've mentioned before, on a year-to-date basis, our EBITDA reached $853 billion, 14.3% of sales, or 40 basis points over last year. On page 16, comparable net income in the second quarter of 2014, as I mentioned before, grew by 48.4% and came in at 299 billion rupiah, bringing our first half net income to 450 billion rupiah. And that represents a 52.7% increase over last year. Just to go into a little bit more detail, on page 17, you can see the details on the accelerated amortization of the capitalized loan fees that were written off in the second quarter. In line with Indonesian GAAP, upfront fees to the lenders of the previous debt facilities, which were fully paid in 2010 and 2012, were capitalized. And if you look at the table there, you can see that as of the 6th of June, which is when we did the refinancing, you can see that there was $61.7 billion of capitalized upfront fees remaining on the prior loan. So if the refinancing had not occurred, the balance of these capitalized upfront fees at the 30th of June would have been amortized over the remaining life of the previous loan. Because of the refinancing, this amortization was accelerated such that the amortization due for the second half of 2014 and for 2015 through 2016 had to be expensed in the second quarter. It is important to note that this charge is a one-time charge, non-cash expense, and has no impact on the operations and cash flows of MDS. On page 18, we have a chart that shows our total debt at the end of the first half at 1,650 billion rupiah. Since then, on the 25th of July, 2014, we prepaid 70 billion on our new term loan facility. And later this week, in fact, on the 7th of August, so a couple of days, we are prepaying an additional 200 billion. At the end of August, our balance will therefore be 1,380 billion rupiah. And we are planning on making additional prepayments later this year. The chart on page 19 shows our same-store sales growth by region. As you can see, in the second quarter, we had a strong sales performance across all regions. In fact, of particular interest is the improvement in same-store sales growth outside of Java that had a 14.9% increase. The chart on page 20, I won't go into the detail, but as you know, it summarizes our financial performance for the first and second quarter of 2014 and year to date, obviously, and then compared with last year. So I think in conclusion, in summary, you know, we continue to see strong consumer demand. Our gross margin gains are offsetting our expense pressures. We're planning on more accelerated debt prepayments later in the year. And as Mike said at the very beginning, we continue to have a very positive outlook for the remainder of the year. So anyway, thank you very much for listening to us today. And now we will open it up to any questions that you might have.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, then please keep star then one on your telephone. Please make sure your line is unmuted, and then record your name and press the hash key. If you decide to withdraw your question, simply key star then 2. All questions will be answered in the order received, and you'll be advised when to ask your question, and all other lines will remain on listen only. Please stand by for your first question. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you very much for taking my queries. This is Princy Singh from JP Morgan in Singapore. I have two questions. The first one is on your gross margin improvement, which you mentioned came from both direct purchases as well as merchandise. I just wanted to understand, you know, what is driving the improvement? Is it to do with the product mix change, or are you effectively saving them raw material costs? Just wanted to get some more details on the raw material, on the gross margin improvement. That's my first question. And the second question is on the same store sales growth trends. I just want to understand, you know, region outside Java that continues to be very strong for you, and just want to understand what are the consumption dynamics there specifically which continue to drive such strong outperformance on same store sales growth. That's all from me. Thank you.
Well, certainly our mix was a major component of our increase in gross margin. So I'm very pleased to tell you we had a very healthy increase also in our consignment business gross margin. So we're very pleased that it happened in both areas. Of course, we generate a higher gross margin than in our direct purchase business, so anything that shifts some of the sales there is in our benefit. With regard to, if I think I heard your question, we got a little bit of a garbled line. Yeah, we're very pleased with our performance outside of Java. Of course, as we have said, we have a tremendous opportunity for new store growth outside of Java because there's markets that don't have modern retail. So we're going into markets such as Borneo, Samkut, which has never had a modern store before, and of course it is drawing customers beyond expectations. Does that answer your question?
Thank you very much.
Uh-huh.
Thanks for that question. The next question we have comes from the line now.
Vivian Morgan Stanley.
I'm sorry, we're having a little bit of difficulty hearing the question. There's some kind of slight fault on the line, I think. Could you ask the question again?
Hello, hi. Hi, Richard. Hi, Mike.
This is Vivian. How are you?
Yeah, I haven't asked my question yet. But thanks for taking this call. I had two, three questions. The first one was just on the direct purchase and, you know, the own brands doing so well. I would like to understand from your perspective what would the implications of, you know, the direct purchase becoming a bigger part of the business be, maybe with your vendor relationships on the consignment side, and just managing the business as a whole with a little bit more inventory burden coming into the books of Mother Hari. But just from like a 2 to 3 year view, what would be probably the cons of this business growing faster? So that's the first. The second is just on the cash management. So I understand that the dividend payout is something that you've mentioned that can be increased from 40 to 50%. But clearly the business is, you know, churning out a lot of cash. And with store openings being tapered down slightly, I'm wondering if management has some latest thoughts on what they can do with this cash and, you know, how to manage the cash better. And lastly, just on the store openings, I noticed that the store openings have been reduced roughly by about 2 or 3 this year. At least for those 2 or 3 stores that have been reduced versus the previous call, is it more of this being filled over to the next year, or are these, you know, stores which were coming up in the next 12 months, are those the ones that have been pulled out? And is there any specific region where you're seeing these 2, 3 developers pull out or, you know, adopt the wait and watch approach? Thanks.
Okay, I'll answer the first question, Vivian. As you know, we brought in an expert to help us with our direct purchase business about 3 years ago, and it's absolutely the best thing that we ever did. We refocused the business, and we continue to get incredible dividends on it. In fact, it was just voted to be the number one brand again in Indonesia not too long ago. Second, I think, is that we control our destiny, of course, in our DP business, and we're able to fund it to the level that with no issues. With a little bit of tightening of credit, I think that squeezed our our CD vendors just a little bit, and we counteracted that by putting more dollars into BP and inventory, which has been able to offset any shortfall that we might have had there. With that, I'll turn it over to Richard to answer the questions on that. And the other two things.
Sure. So if we start off with cash, Divya, I mean, obviously, you know, the best use of our cash is obviously to open new stores. The second best use of our cash is to pay down our debt. And obviously, the third, the best use of our cash, certainly for our shareholders as well, is to increase our dividend. And so, you know, we're in a very fortunate position because we do throw off so much cash. That we do believe that the opportunities for increasing our dividend further in future years are definitely there. Obviously, we want to make sure that we keep sufficient cash on hand to take advantage of store opening opportunities as they arise. And actually, on the subject of store openings, you know, of the four stores that have moved, actually, three of them have moved into the second half of 2015, and the other one has moved beyond that, and we're still looking at that as a potential 2016. So I think it's really a kind of a slowing down, I think, if you like. As I mentioned earlier, the developers, certainly some of them are adopting a little bit of a wait-and-see attitude just to kind of see how things play out as it relates to interest rates and the macroeconomic picture, which I think, you know, as we move through the year, we'll have better visibility of.
Sure. Just one very quick follow-up on that. So just on these store openings, is there any kind of regional diversity in terms of, you know, where you're seeing some of these developers pull out? Is it more outside Java, rest of Java? And
just to quickly jump in, we're not seeing anything geographic.
Okay. And just on the geographic split between the same store sales growth, there's a very distinct difference between Jakarta and outside, whereas in fact some of your competitors have reported rather poor numbers outside Java. So it's a very there's a very big contrasting performance. Any specific insights that you can share on why maybe, you know, Greater Jakarta has been lower?
We had our Akagai store was under renovation, our Fluid store was under renovation, so we had two of our top stores under renovation. In fact, we had Arion also. So we had three stores under renovation that just completed right in the middle of second quarter. So that knocked them down just a little bit when you take those three stores.
Okay, got it. Thank you so much.
Uh-huh.
The first question we have comes from the line now.
Adrian. Hi, Richard and Mike. This is Adrian from UBS.
Hey, how are you? Hi, Adrian.
Hi, how are you? So, yeah, I just have three questions. Number one is on the new stores opening. So how many percent of the out of the total opening for this year, how many percent is from third-party stores? And then you mentioned that you are thinking of bringing down the annual opening to 10 to 12 in terms of the speed. So when is this? Is this starting next year onwards? And I think on the same store sales growth, because your figure was really high in the Q2, I just want to clarify with you, if we exclude the Ramadan sales, so let's say we just have a same store sales growth up to 5 months, what was the figure? Or if you may have some indication on as of up to end of July, year on year. So, I think that's the questions so far.
Certainly. Well, let's firstly starting off with the sort of third-party stores. In fact, of all the stores we're opening this year, one of the stores is a group-related store, and the balance are third-party. So that's the first thing. Secondly, as it relates to you know, us taking a more conservative view on opening stores going forward, you know, we're putting 10 to 12 as a potential forecast. But we would certainly open more stores should they become available. So, you know, basically, you know, we haven't changed our strategy of opening, obviously, additional stores. We would open double that if we could. It's really a function of the real estate that comes up. So, like I said, we always like to keep cash on hand so we can go for additional opportunities as they come up. As it relates to same-store sales growth, you know, I think that, you know, as you know, we don't give out the monthly same-store sales growth, but the company basically posted strong double-digit sales increases every month in the second quarter. So without going into too much more detail, I think you'll find that hopefully that answers your question.
Okay, and just one more additional question on the direct purchase. What's the optimum balance to the total sales in the foreseeable future, and then the optimized gross margin, do you think, from the current level?
You know, that's very hard to say, because I've always said from the very beginning, I don't really set that as a standard. I really react to what the customers want. If we build more stores, it turns out a higher balance where stores are going to be out of Jakarta, we're going to do a much higher balance of sales in our DP business, because the average income is lower out there. If I were to build all my stores in Jakarta, the rest of them, the next 3 years, the balance would shift back to DP or CD, and we'd still be very, very good shape. So I don't really have an ideal balance. My ideal balance is what the customer tells me we're going to have. And I think if we continue to do that, I think it's one of the number one reasons Matahari has been so successful and has been able to drive the volume and the profitability that we have.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Uh-huh. Thanks for that question. The next question we have comes from the line of
Alicia from BlackRock. Hi, Richard and Mike.
Hi, Alicia.
Hi, thank you for doing this conference call. I've got two questions. One is around your comments of your store opening really depends on real estate availability. Is there any sort of thoughts around long-term, solutions to that? It's not really a problem per se, but would you consider alternative strategy so that you can have a bit more control over new store opening? My second question is around repeat customers versus new customers. Could you shed some color on that, please? Thank you.
So as it relates to repeat customers, obviously, you know, we can only track the customers that come in and use our Matahari Club card. Now, the good news is that the number of participants in our Matahari Club Card program has now increased to 2.83 million customers. And as you know, they on average spend significantly more than a non-card holder. I think, though, if we dive down into the statistics a little bit, you know, what I mentioned earlier is that, you know, our transactions increase. And I think that transactions are a surrogate measure for traffic. So, you know, we believe that we are actually seeing a combination of additional new customers as well as an increase in spend from our current customers. So, you know, we think we're in a good situation right now.
Let me ask you
that. Sure.
So far as new store options, yes, we have explored some other options. None of them look really that favorable for us right now, but they include looking into if there's any place else we could, you know, maybe another small chain we could buy. That doesn't appear to be a great viability for us. We've also are looking into partnering with another retailer here to help push malls as we go forward. But generally what we have found is it would take 2 to 3 years for that to happen. By that time we think the market's going to recover. And there'll be more malls that we could probably open it at that point in time. So I don't really think that there's a lot of relief for the next year or two. And again, we're just trying to be more conservative, because I'd rather tell you 10 and give you 13 or 14 than tell you the 15 we've been doing the last 2 years and then kind of a little short of that. And I'm trying to also make sure we protect our credibility here.
Sure. Thank you.
The third option, let me tell you that we are actively looking to expand successful stores we have right now. And although this has been a very productive year in adding a lot of space, and it may not be that great going forward as that magnitude, but we think we have a lot of opportunity there. So if we could open 1 to 2 stores worth a year of expansion space, that would go a long way to helping us out as well.
Yeah, and our pipeline, you know, like that we were talking earlier, you know, our pipeline is also very strong. I mean, if you were to go back a few years, you know, the pipeline of new stores would be significantly lower. So I think that while that pipeline remains strong, you know, we feel comfortable.
I see. Thank you.
Thank you for that question. The next question we have comes from the line of
Alvin. Hi, Michael, Richard, Elvin here from Standard Chartered Research. Thank you for the time, and congratulations on a good set of results. Just I have about four questions. The first one is, with regards to the expansion in the EBIT margin, could you give us more color on whether the economics of direct purchase and consignment products on the EBIT level has changed? Because in the past, you gave guidance that they are more or less similar on EBIT level, even though at GP they are different. So if let's say it has stayed the same economics-wise, would you be able to share on what are the operational efficiencies drove the EBIT margin gain in this quarter? Second, in terms of the change in same-store sales growth mix between ASC being smaller than volume as the driver, which is at 9%, how much of this is actually because of the earlier Lebaran season and how much is because of a general lift-in sentiment? And third question would be on CapEx guidance. What would be the revised CapEx guidance given the cutback in number of store openings? And the last one would be, could you give us more color in terms of the defensive impact suite that you mentioned in footnote that to adjust the 2030 net income between this year and last year? Thank you.
Sure. I think, you know, the first question was, as it relates to EBIT margin, have the dynamics of direct purchase and CV changed? You know, I think we talked about this a little bit when we went through our first quarter results. As you may recall, you know, up until then, we had always said that, you know, the relative profitability of direct purchase and consignment was the same. Because as you know, although consignment has a lower margin, they pick up payroll costs, et cetera, et cetera. Now, what we did begin to see, and we talked about it in the first quarter, is that those dynamics have changed a little bit. You know, our direct purchase program is a lot stronger. Again, as Mike mentioned earlier, I mean, we're also bringing in a lot of new programs, such as key item programs, things like that, that allow us to buy better, sell faster, and give a better presentation to the customer. So, you know, without going into the specifics as to the relative margin impact, DP definitely now has the edge on CV. And you can see that coming out quite strongly in our results so far in the first half. And those results, as Mike mentioned, we've not only seen an improvement in our direct purchase margin as a standalone, we've also seen an improvement in our consignment margin as a standalone, and then you factor in the change in mix, and then you get a significant increase in gross margin. And obviously what's great about gross margin is, you know, it does flow through to the bottom line. As it relates to same-store sales growth, you know, we did say, you know, we're seeing an increase in ASP and an increase in volume. You know, frankly, you know, as long as the two are positive, we feel very, very comfortable. You know, I think that, you know, obviously, you know, unit volume increases are particularly encouraging because they're signaling that irrespective of price, your sales are being driven by people actually buying more. And that's obviously a very good place to be. You know, as it relates to, and I hope I'm getting all of your questions in the right order. As it relates to CapEx, this year we'll probably have CapEx spend of somewhere between 350 and 400 billion. We are spending a little bit less on new stores because of the reduction in new stores. But, you know, part of that money is going to be available to be used for an increase in the relamping program, which I talked about earlier, whereby, you know, obviously relamping stores with LED lights can give us some significantly strong payback. And I think really the final question that you had was on the adjusted EBITDA. So if we take 2013 as an example, the reported EBITDA in 2013 for the first half was 265 billion rupiah. Now, if you remember, a 25% tax rate applied at that time. So for the purposes of a true comparison to 2014, if you assume that not a 25% tax rate applies, but instead a 20% tax rate implied, then the earnings in 2013 last year would have actually been higher than 265, it would have been 294.5. Yeah? Because that tax adjustment is worth about 30 billion. Now, if we move to 2014, the reported income is 362. That's already at the 20% tax rate. But we need to, for comparable purposes, increase it by two things. Firstly, a 28 billion charge that was taken in Q1 as it related to a prior year tax adjustment that is not applicable to 2014. And secondly, for the amortization of the existing loan, where we had to accelerate the amortization when we refinanced to get obviously a better interest rate. And that was about 60 billion. So that brings 2014 to 449.7. And so we felt that it was better to give you an alternative look at a true like-for-like comparison. Does that answer your question?
Yep, that's great. Thanks.
Good.
Thank you. The next question we have comes from the line of...
Hi, Mike. Which congratulations on the second quarter result. Just a couple of questions. Regarding to the membership, 2.83 million members, are they all active and how much do they account for the sales? As I remember, as of the end of 2013, they account for 50% of your gross sales. My second question is regarding to 7 to 8 new stores in 2014. I understand that you couldn't see the trend of how developer having the new malls in which location, but in terms of those 7 to 8 stores that you already confirmed the location, how many of them are outside Jakarta and how many of them are outside Java? And also, how should we see the direct purchases move? Do you think it will go up to 40% of the total gross sales, given that the probability of direct purchases is doing well? And my last question is, any update on the shareholder structure? How much share does the management, like you and other key management, hold? Thank you.
So I'll quickly, I'll start off and give you the information on our loyalty card program. Like I said, we're very happy with the performance for our Makuhari Club Card program. When I talk about 2.83 million members, I am talking about active members. And we define active as those members that have made a purchase in the last 12 months. Secondly, interesting you asked the question. Year to date this year, actually, 51.1% of our sales have come from our loyalty card program, and that compares with this time last year when exactly 50% of our sales came from our loyalty program. Do you want to ask again your other questions? I'm not sure we...
Okay.
Did you ask the split of the 8 stores? That's all right. So the split of the 8 stores, Greater Jakarta 2 stores, Java excluding Greater Jakarta 1, and the balance outside of Java.
Okay.
All right. So that's 2 of your questions. I think you also had a question. You could repeat it on direct purchase.
Yeah, direct purchase is doing very well now. In second quarter, it's 35% of your sales, and it's continuing to be on the uptrend. So I want to see the long term, would it be possible to reach 40%? And my other question is the shareholder structure. I want to see any update and how much does the management actually hold? Thank you.
I mean, it could be possible, as I mentioned earlier, if you heard the answer to the question. Another gentleman asked me where he thought we would go with direct purchase. I'm going to let the customer tell us where we need to go with that. It will depend a lot on where our stores are. So I don't really expect that DP could hit 40% this year. We'll potentially hit it next year if we keep opening more stores outside of Java.
Yeah. And then just to address your question on the shareholding structure, there's been no change since the first quarter of last year, first quarter of this year. So currently the public has 53.9%, ACC has 25.7%, that's Asia Color Company, and Multipolar has 20.5%.
Understood. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for that question. The next question we have comes from the line of
Balloon from New Silk Road. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, this is Balloon. Congratulations on the set of results. I just wanted to check, in terms of the store expansion economics, when you expand a store as opposed to building a new store, how productive do you expect the expanded area to be in terms of sales per square meter as compared to existing? Will it be higher or lower?
Well, yeah, I think that you're asking what's the relative profitability of building our own store. But
No. Expansion of existing stores compared to new stores.
Yeah. I think we mentioned last time, actually, believe it or not, we get a faster payback when we expand an existing store than we do when we build a new store. So as Mike mentioned earlier, you know, wherever we get the opportunity where we can expand space in an existing well-performing store, that's very good for us.
Thank you. Okay, that's all. Thanks.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for that question. We have no current questions. The next question we have comes from the line of
Divya Morgan Stanley. Hi, just one very quick follow-up question. Mike, would really appreciate if you can let us know on any updates on the contract renewals from your perspective, which was going to expire at the end of this year. And any other further updates if you can give us on the e-commerce side of the business. Based on our last few conversations that's been there on the cards as an industry, just if you could share if Mata Hari is doing anything to prepare for that sort of an initiative. And lastly, you mentioned the CV margin improved in this quarter a bit. I'm just wondering, is that mix related or is there something else that's driving this? Thanks.
We are getting better arrangements with our suppliers on that right now. So that's really accounting for our improvement in our margin. With regard to my contract, about 3 weeks ago, I signed a new contract that takes me through the end of 2016. So my contract, instead of expiring in 2014, has been extended an additional 2 years. And then I'll let Richard answer the last question.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit premature at the moment for us to talk about e-commerce. But what I will say is that we are this year looking at different operating models that we might employ should we decide to proceed with e-commerce. We're obviously aware how quickly it took off in China, and we believe that there is tremendous potential in the Indonesian marketplace, so that we want to obviously make sure that we've looked into it thoroughly and figured out different ways of approaching it.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you for that question. There's no current questions in the queue.
Okay, well, if there are no more questions, we'll certainly want to thank you for being with us this evening and look forward to seeing you guys again in the near future.
Thank you, Michael, and thank you, Richard. Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes your conference call for today. You may now disconnect. Thank you for joining and enjoy the rest of your day.